Do you remember this sound? There it is. For those of you who are under 20, you may think that was an attempt to communicate with aliens, but for many of us, this was the familiar sound of connecting to the internet back in the 90s. And if you were an AOL user, you'll recognize this friendly voice.
Welcome.
And if you were really lucky, you'd get this one.
You've got mail.
Once you were connected to the internet, or the World Wide Web, as we like to call it back in the day, the possibilities were endless. You could chat with your buddies on Instant Messenger, or at least read their away messages. You could ask Jeeves to help you answer all your tough questions. You could join a chat room where you could share personal information with strangers. It was awesome. You could even download free music on Napster before it was officially illegal. Of course, it could take up to an hour to download one song, but All Star by Smash Mouth was well worth the wait, right? But just when you had 10 instant message conversations going at once and your favorite Goo Goo Doll song was 95% downloaded, you would hear this sound.
Goodbye.
That usually meant someone called your house and knocked you off the internet. Getting disconnected was a necessary evil of dial-up internet. Yes, it was frustrating, but you were willing to live with it because it was the only option. For those of you who are still rocking dial-up internet, your patience is unbelievable. Seriously. Internet connection has changed a lot since the 90s. DSL and cable internet have increased internet speed. Wireless modems make connections possible throughout houses, schools, businesses. And now people have internet access through their phones almost all the time. Wireless internet access has changed the game. And we're so used to being connected that we get really mad if we don't have internet access at all times. We have a name for a place where our phones don't get service. We call it a dead zone. Right? That's a little extreme though, isn't it? No one's actually dying from not having internet or cell phone reception, right? But if I told you that for the rest of the week, you can only access the internet through a computer that is physically connected to the internet, most of you would start freaking out a little bit. How am I supposed to keep up with email? What if I need to look up directions? What if I miss something really important on Facebook or Instagram, like someone getting a haircut? For most of us, we are dependent on our connection to the internet for our work, our relationships, our finances, our entertainment, our hobbies. And I could preach an entire sermon on why we all need more time disconnected from our phones and devices to better connect with God and the people in our lives. But that's a message for another day. As we explore another I am statement that Jesus made about himself today, I want us to consider our connection with Jesus. What would it look like to have a connection with Christ that is as constant and dependent as our connection with the internet? And that might sound silly to you, but think about it. Which connection has a greater influence on your everyday life? Are we as eager to experience the benefits of a strong connection with Jesus as we are to enjoy the benefits of the internet? Let's keep these questions in mind as we open up to John 15 and hear another powerful description of who Jesus is. Let me remind you of the context of this passage that Pastor Derek described to us last week. John 13 through 17 is Jesus' farewell address to his disciples. They're together in the upper room sharing the Passover meal, and Jesus knows that his hour has come. In less than 24 hours, he will be hanging on a cross, breathing his last breath. In the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, they focus on Jesus instituting communion during this time in the upper room. But John focuses on Jesus' final instructions to his disciples before he leaves them. He speaks plainly and clearly that it is time for him to go to the Father, and he tries to prepare them for life and ministry after he's gone. As you can imagine, they're confused and worried. What do you mean you're leaving? What are we supposed to do without you? But he makes sure to tell them what they need to know to calm their fears, to establish their faith, and to be able to continue his ministry in his absence. As we heard last week, he assures them that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he will prepare a place for them in his Father's house. He reminds them that he came from the Father and is going back to the Father, and that he is one with the Father. Everything he taught and accomplished came from the Father. Then he says, "Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do." It's one thing to do the works Jesus did when he was with you, but how can they do his works if he goes away? Does he really expect his disciples to continue his ministry if he's not there to help them? And at that moment, when I picture the disciples looking around at each other like, is he serious? Does he really think we can do this without him? Jesus tells them that he's going to send them another helper, the Holy Spirit, who will not only be with them, but will be in them. He goes so far as to say, it is to your advantage that I go away so I can send my Holy Spirit, this helper, to be in you. Jesus knew that the disciples would be better equipped for ministry by having his Spirit in them than having Jesus physically with them. I mean, Jesus kind of went multi-site, one Savior in multiple locations. He would be more powerfully connected to all his disciples than ever before. And so this sets the stage for our reading today. Jesus continuing to describe to his disciples how to continue his ministry after he leaves. We have much to learn from Jesus' final words to his disciples. These five chapters capture so much of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And so right off the beginning here, I want to give you a challenge, if that's okay. I would love for you to read John 13 through 17 in one sitting before you go to sleep tonight. I know this would mean setting aside 20 or 30 minutes of other life-enriching activity like watching TV or scrolling social media, but what a powerful section of scripture, and it will be worth your time to read it all at once. All right, let's turn to John 15. We're going to start reading in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Abide in the vine. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I am the true vine. Jesus is painting a powerful picture for the disciples of what the relationship with him is like. They are connected to Jesus like branches connected to a grapevine. And the way they will maintain this supernatural, fruit-producing connection with Jesus is through the Helper, the Holy Spirit, that Jesus will send to be in them. Because of this powerful union with Christ through the Holy Spirit, the disciples will bear much fruit, as you would expect a branch of a thriving vine to produce, and their fruit will bring glory to God. As Jesus prepares his disciples for his departure, he wants them to know with certainty that he will continue to be their sufficient source for fruitful living and ministry. Can everybody say sufficient source with me? Sufficient source. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. True vine equals sufficient source. As the true vine, Jesus is our sufficient source for fruitfulness. He supplies us and sustains us with everything we need to thrive and bear fruit. Jesus' sufficiency and our desperate need for him has been so evident with every I am statement that we've looked at throughout this series. We are spiritually starving, but Jesus is the bread of life. We're helpless sheep, but Jesus is the good shepherd. We're vulnerable to attacks, but Jesus is the door to abundant life. We are stuck in darkness, but Jesus is the light of the world. We are lost, deceived, and dead in our sins, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And today we recognize that we are powerless branches, unable to produce fruit on our own, but Jesus is the true vine. I hope this series has helped you see the sufficiency of our Savior. Everything we need is found in Christ. He is our source of life and love and salvation and righteousness, of peace and joy and purpose and power, everlasting hope. And from the abundance of Christ, we receive every spiritual blessing and provision. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. We're helpless and hopeless and powerless and fruitless. But in Christ, we can bear much fruit and prove that we are Jesus' disciples. You see, we underestimate the sufficiency of our Savior. When we underestimate the sufficiency of our Savior, we doubt our ability to bear fruit. We need to simultaneously acknowledge our absolute helplessness in his overwhelming sufficiency. This is our big idea today. Because Jesus is the true vine, we can bear fruit. Now we have to ask ourselves an important question. What fruit should we expect to bear when we abide in Christ? Let's read the next section of John 15 to answer that question. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. In this passage, Jesus describes the fruit that he wants to produce when we abide in him. So I want us to look at three different ways Jesus bears fruit in and through us. First, when we abide in Christ, we can be like Jesus. The heart of Jesus' teaching can be captured in two simple words. Follow me. Follow me. Be like me. Do what I do. Love like I love. Pray like I pray. Serve like I serve. Teach like I teach. Obey the Father like I obey the Father. This is what it means to be a follower of Christ, to be like our leader, Jesus. He emphasizes this idea in verse 12 when he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And we know this is important because he's repeating the same command he already gave his disciples earlier that night. Love each other. Jesus commands his disciples to be like him, to love like he loves. But we cannot be like Jesus on our own. Remember, apart from him, we can do nothing. We must be connected to Christ to become more like Christ. We might change our behavior, but only Jesus can change our heart. When we abide in the true vine, the Holy Spirit will transform us so that we will see in ourselves the things that we see in Christ. Righteousness, godliness, obedience to the Father, growing and maturing faith, the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace, patience and kindness and gentleness, self-control and victory over sin. Paul prays that the Philippians would be filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus is our sufficient source of everything that we need to follow him and be like him. But the process of being made more like Christ is not without pain. Jesus tells us that God the Father is the vine dresser who prunes the branches so that they can bear more fruit. Pruning is the process of cutting off harmful or unnecessary things so that more nourishment can flow and produce a greater harvest. Rob West is one of our worship leaders at Grace Harbor Creek, and he works on his father-in-law's grape farm. He spends most Saturdays in the middle of winter out there in the vineyard pruning grapevines. Why? So that when the harvest comes, the branches will produce more grapes. Pruning is painful. When God wants to take something out of our life, whether it's just harmful sin or just something unnecessary that's distracting us from something better, that hurts. But that pruning leads to fruitfulness. It's similar to being disciplined by a loving father. Hebrews 12:11 says, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Do you trust God's love enough to let him prune you, to convict you and correct you? Do you really believe that it's good for you? I hope so. What is God trying to prune in your life? What sin needs to die? What habit needs to change? What Christ-like quality is God trying to form in you? Is there something that you gave up during this Lenten season that needs to stay gone so that you can bear more fruit for the glory of God? I'm looking forward to the Overcomer series after Easter because I believe with all my heart that Jesus is powerful enough to help us overcome our struggles and addictions. We have to ask him and allow him to change us, partner with him in the work that he wants to do in us. But when we abide in Christ, we can be like Jesus. So what other fruit should we expect to produce? When we abide in Christ, we can change lives. Jesus will not only bear fruit in us, he will bear fruit through us. He intends for his followers to bear lasting fruit that will actually change people's lives and eternities, just like he did. Listen again to his words in verse 16. "I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide." Every follower of Jesus is appointed by God to change lives, to help others know and grow in Christ, to bear lasting, eternal fruit. We can trust that He is our sufficient source for fruitful ministry to others. Do you believe this? Do you expect Jesus to change lives through you? Do you expect Him to work through you to help your family grow in their faith in Christ? You know, this is your primary ministry, and you are equipped with the Spirit of Jesus to help your spouse and your kids and your siblings know and love Jesus. Do you expect to change lives here at church? The Bible tells us that every member of the body of Christ has a role to play and a spiritual gift to use to build up the body, to make it strong. When you volunteer on a ministry team, Jesus is going to love and encourage and strengthen His church through you. Do you expect Jesus to change lives through you outside of the church? Your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers, for their lives to be different because you're part of them. Here at Grace, we call this investing in others, sharing the love of Christ with people who don't know Him yet. In John 17, Jesus says that He is sending the disciples into the world just as the Father sent Him. And at the end of chapter 15, Jesus tells His disciples that they will bear witness about Him. Just like the disciples, Jesus is sending us into the world to be witnesses and ambassadors for Him. When we bear witness about Christ, we tell others who Jesus is and what He's done for us. Jesus wants to reach people through you. Maybe that means inviting your friend at work to Easter or telling your neighbor why you believe in Jesus. Maybe you share a song or a book about Christ with a friend and you follow up with a conversation about faith. Are you expecting Jesus to change lives through you? Let me take that one level deeper. Do you expect God to use you to bring people to Christ? I think our expectations are too low in America. We think that there are so many opportunities for someone to hear the gospel and follow Jesus. But what if God has chosen you to be the most effective witness in that person's life? Not because you're the perfect example of Christianity, no offense, but because you are in their circle and you know the Savior they are in desperate need of. There's a seminary in Indonesia, and one of the graduation requirements is that you must plant a church with 30 newly converted Christians in a Muslim community. When I hear that, I can't help but feel thrilled and devastated all at once. I'm thrilled that Jesus is using these seminary students to bring so many people to Christ. And I'm devastated that we have such low expectations of Jesus' ability to bring people to Christ through us, myself included. So let me ask you that question again. Do you expect God to use you to bring people to Christ? And if your first response is, I can't, I'm not ready, I'm too scared, then you're probably thinking the same thoughts the disciples were when Jesus was saying these words to them. And you're right, you can't. But He can. He can change lives through you. And I pray that we trust Him enough to let Him. And so when we abide in Christ, we can be like Jesus. We can change lives like Jesus changed lives. And lastly, when we abide in Christ, we can be filled with joy. Joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, something the Spirit will produce in us as we follow Christ. And Jesus desires for every one of His followers to be filled with joy. He says this in verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." We have the joy of knowing God, the Creator of the universe, as our Father. The joy of abiding in His love. The joy of being a friend of Christ. The joy of eternal salvation. And the joy of being fruitful in Christ. The joy of being more like Jesus and obeying God. The joy of loving others and seeing prayers answered. The joy of being used by Jesus to change lives. This is the abundant life. The life that Jesus describes back in John 10, a life full of purpose and peace, faith and hope, love and power, a life of walking closely with Jesus and seeing Him change you and change others through you. Now let me tell you, the Christian life is not easy, but it is a joyful life. Do you have that joy in your life? Joy that is deep and unshakable? Joy that is stronger than your pain and sadness? Do you believe that Christ can produce that kind of joy in you? When we abide in Christ, we can be like Jesus, we can change lives, and we can be filled with joy. So we've looked at Jesus being the true vine, our sufficient source for fruitfulness. We've looked at the fruit that Jesus wants to produce in us and through us. And now we need to look at the critical step Jesus tells his disciples to take in order to bear fruit. Abide in me. What does it mean to abide in Christ? That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Well, abide literally means to remain or continue, to make your home with or stay connected to. And it's important to understand that we are eternally connected to Christ through our faith in him. When we repent of our sins and put our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're united with him immediately. We receive his Holy Spirit and Christ dwells within us. Some of you have never taken that first step of putting your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the first step to abiding and receiving the life and love and power that is found only in Christ. Once we have that connection, we're able to draw spiritual nourishment and empowerment from the true vine. But this doesn't happen automatically. It's tempting to maintain a weak connection with Christ that results in minimal fruit. Or worse yet, to try to produce fruit on our own without relying on Jesus, which will leave you exhausted and discouraged and fruitless. Trust me, self-sufficiency is a temptation I fight daily. And when I find myself in a season of exhaustion and discouragement, I have to ask myself, have I been relying on myself instead of abiding in Christ? Jesus invites us to establish a strong, vital connection with him that leads to bearing much fruit. If you're taking notes, you can write, abide equals strengthen your connection. If we want to continue the ministry of Christ in this world and bear the fruit he desires, we must strengthen our connection with him. Think about your phone's connection to the internet again, okay? We've gone from 2G networks to 3G to 4G to LTE. Now, most of our phones have the ability to maintain a constant high-speed connection with LTE internet. And now we get frustrated when we only get 3G, right? Which of these best describes your connection to Christ? A weak connection? A growing connection? A strong and thriving connection? For real, some of you are still living dial-up Christianity. Yeah, there might be a connection, but it's weak. And the slightest thing can disrupt it. Others of you are trying to go it alone, airplane mode, where the infinite resources of the true vine are available to you. Here's the crazy part. Jesus offers us unlimited data on the strongest network, but we have to abide in him and strengthen our connection so we can receive the life and power he is so eager to give us. Are you drawing life and power from that connection day by day, moment by moment? Are you lacking fruit? Is your faith languishing instead of thriving? If that's you, it's easy to start questioning the vine, right? What's wrong with the vine that I'm not seeing fruit in my life? But let me reassure you, I think the vine is doing just fine. Last I heard, Jesus is still at the right hand of the Father, ruling the universe with all power and authority. So the vine's all good. You don't have a vine problem. You have an abiding problem. You need to strengthen your connection to Christ. And so let's get specific and practical about how we can abide in Christ. The first way to abide in Christ is to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the helper, so let him help you. The Holy Spirit does a lot to help us. The Bible tells us the Spirit guides us, teaches us, speaks to us, convicts us, prays for us, reminds us, unifies us, empowers us, transforms us, affirms our identity as children of God. We're also given directions on how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, to join him as he helps us. Set your mind on the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If we want to see Jesus produce fruit in and through us, we have to submit to the leadership of his Spirit in us. If he convicts us of sin, we need to confess it and turn from it. If he leads us to a ministry, we need to trust him to use us. If he prompts us to share Christ with someone, we need to step out in faith and do it. Paul encourages the Roman believers with these words. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead wants to empower you to live a fruitful life in Christ. How amazing is that? Our job is to cooperate with him and follow where he leads. Another way that you can abide in Christ is to meditate on his word. Jesus gives us his word so we can know him and build a relationship of daily dependence upon him. He wants His words to abide in us, to take up residence in us, to not just stay in our head, but to move and change our heart. As Paul says in Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. This takes time and intentionality. It takes discipline and sacrifice. Hearing a sermon once a week isn't going to do it. Listen to this description in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. Fruit comes from connecting to Christ through his word. And not just reading it, but delighting in it and meditating on it day and night. Making time every day to meditate on God's word is one of the most effective ways that I have found to strengthen my connection to Christ. I usually read a chapter or even a smaller section each day and then give myself time to prayerfully meditate and reflect on what it means and how God wants me to live differently because of it. I let the Holy Spirit speak to me through that scripture and change me. If we give Him permission, God's going to use the Bible as His pruning knife to bring about conviction and repentance and the fruit of righteousness in our life. He will enlighten our hearts, strengthen our faith, guide our steps, but we have to make time to connect with Christ through His Word. If you're not doing this, if you're not making time to consistently read your Bible, or you're just reading it and moving on with your day without praying and letting God speak to you through it, you're missing out. There's fruit that Jesus wants to produce in your life that can't happen unless you're meditating on His Word. Maybe this week you can get in the I Am devotional and let that be a great starting point for some daily time in the Word of God. The last way to abide in Christ is to develop a dependent prayer life. We need to invite Christ to nourish us and empower us to bear fruit through prayer. This goes right along with meditating on God's Word. Make time each day to get alone with God without distractions. Is this part of your life? Scheduled time in your chair to read His Word and respond in prayer, to strengthen that connection. And then continue that conversation throughout the day. The Bible encourages us to pray at all times and pray without ceasing. Instead of trying to do things on our own strength, we should be constantly asking for help to be like Jesus, for His love and power to flow through us, to change lives, asking for the joy of Christ to fill us. These are prayers that the Father is eager to answer. Jesus tells His disciples to expect their prayers to be answered several times in His farewell address. The stronger our connection with Christ, the more our prayers will align with the Father's heart. Developing a dependent prayer life is the hardest one for me. I let myself get so consumed by the tasks of the day that I don't often stop and ask God's help, guidance, or ask for Him to fill me with His joy. I don't stop to praise Him for who He is and what He's done or what He's doing in that moment. This is an area that I want to strengthen my connection with Christ the most. I want to consciously stay connected to Christ throughout my day, moment by moment, drawing my strength and spiritual nourishment from Christ through the Holy Spirit. Because this is the picture that I see when I read about the disciples' example in Acts. They received the Holy Spirit just as Jesus promised, and they did exactly what Jesus described in John 15. They stayed connected to the true vine, and the fruit was incredible. They abided in Christ through dependent prayer and filling themselves with His Word. They were bold witnesses for Christ, and many came to know Christ through them. They were filled with joy despite being rejected and persecuted. His life and power flowed through them to bring many, many people into the kingdom, and the world has never been the same. And I know it's still possible to see fruit like this because I see fruit of Jesus' disciples here at Grace. One of those disciples is Patty Rogerson. 6 years ago this week, we launched Grace Harbor Creek in Harbor Creek High School. And Patty was serving. I got to serve with her on the team there. She was part of the hospitality team. And she'd make sure the coffee was ready and treats were there for guests to enjoy. She'd go around and pray with the different teams before they'd serve on Sunday morning, asking God to use them to change lives. She's always been an example for me of spiritual vitality. I'll tell you what, she loves God's Word. She lives a life of faithful and dependent prayer. She is a true prayer warrior, and I can't wait to get to heaven and find out all the prayers that God answered in my life through Patty. Her strong connection to Christ leads to faithful, fruitful ministry inside the church and outside the church, to her co-workers, to family members, to friends, people who know Christ and people who don't. And I'll tell you what, Patty Rogerson has joy in all circumstances. I've seen her deeply hurt and heartbroken, but I have never seen her without joy. The joy of the Lord is her strength in all circumstances. Patty's example inspires me to abide in Christ and to bear more fruit for His glory. And so as we close today, I hope you have a hunger. I hope you have a hunger to abide and to see the fruit that Christ wants to form in you and through you. But I want to leave you with these two questions. What fruit are you lacking most? Are you lacking the qualities you see in Christ, love and grace and righteousness? Are you not seeing Jesus use you to change lives? Are you lacking joy? What fruit are you lacking most? And second, how will you strengthen your connection with Christ this week? Do you need to cooperate with the Holy Spirit? Do you need to make time to meditate on God's Word? Do you need to develop an ongoing, dependent prayer life throughout your day? If you devote yourself to abiding in Christ like never before, you'll begin to see fruit where you didn't before. Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, we declare that You are the true vine. You are our sufficient source for life and godliness, for fruitful ministry. And we ask that you would lead us by the power of Your Spirit to abide in You and to bear much fruit for Your kingdom. That our church and our community, that our families, that the people in our lives would be impacted by the work that You do in us because we are abiding in You, our true vine. We pray for much fruit in our lives and the lives of everyone at Grace Church, for Your glory, for Your kingdom. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.